It's always good to be in God's house this morning. I just feel the presence of the Lord in a way that I pray that you do as well. And we're going to just dive into His Word and have a good time here. Before I do, on August the 14th, two Sundays from today, we're having a Sunday School Reboot, what we're calling it. And I'm going to be preaching as normal. But all, the 9:30 hour, the Sunday School hour, I'm going to have all the adult and youth classes are going to be in here together. And I'll be leading that. We'll be talking about what Sunday school is, how to have an effective Sunday school, both class and effective Sunday school as a church. And what does that mean to have an effective Sunday school? What does it mean to have a healthy, growing? We're going to be looking at 6 or 7 essentials of an effective, healthy, growing Sunday school or Bible study, however you want, whatever you want to say it. We call it Sunday school around here. So I want to encourage you to be here. And then at 4:30 that afternoon, we expect all teachers, associate teachers, and any other leaders in classes to be with us, to join us. And we'll be downstairs in the fellowship hall from 4:30 to 6. And so just having a time there of training and learning about Jesus taught. He had 6 different techniques that I know of that he used, and he turned the world upside down. Can we still use those techniques today? I believe so. And so we want to talk about those and some other things in that training meeting. So any Sunday school leader or potential leader or anyone that you think you just like, and you don't even have to teach Sunday school. If you teach anywhere, and this is for all ages, okay, at that 4:30 is, again, for if you're working in nursery, preschool, if you work in vacation Bible school, work in the youth and something other than Sunday morning, come, because you're going to gain from that training experience there. And there's something that we all need to continue doing as a Christian, and that's training, being equipped in whatever it is that God's called us to do. So make sure you got that on your calendar. That day on the 14th will be a full day of serving God in that way, rebooting Sunday school. Today's message, you can see, is titled Enthusiastically Unto the Lord with Passion. Were they able to get all of it on the screen? They did. Okay, good deal. And so we're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 3. Verses 22 through 25 in just a few minutes. And first, as I was writing this, I was reminded of the story of 3 young men all getting hired on the same day at a construction site. And they showed up to the construction site, and their supervisor met them. He was talking to them and letting them know about what the day was going to be like. And he said, they were standing not far from a big pile of gravel, and he said, I want you two to come with me. I'm going to show you what you're going to do with the gravel. And he pointed to one who just happened to be a newly immigrated Chinese man, and he pointed to him, and he said, and you go over to that trailer over there. That's our supply trailer. You get everything that you all need to move this pile of gravel. He said, she'll get you, the lady in there will get you everything you need. You just go over there and get it. And so he took the other 2 gentlemen. He said, now what you're going to do is you're going to move this gravel from here. And he took them around the corner to another area. And he said, you're going to put that here and you're going to level it out, smooth it out so that we can work with it later today. He said, but that's your job, is just move that pile of gravel with it. He should be able to get all the shovels, gloves, and wheelbarrow, everything that you need. And so then he said, you all go back over to the gravel pile and you wait for him. And when he gets back, then you all start working and start moving that. And I'll check on you in a little bit. Well, he comes back about a half an hour later. And the 2 men that he had talked to were just sitting there kind of leaning back or sitting on the gravel pile. The other guy was not in sight, and there's no work going on. And so the supervisor said, what are y'all doing? Didn't I tell you what you needed to do, don't you? He said, yeah, but we've not seen the Chinese guy. He's not come back. He said, from the supply trailer, it's right there. How come he hasn't come back? He said, no, we don't know. He said, we don't know where he's at. He said, all he had to do was go get. About that time, the little Chinese guy was down on the other side of the pile, and he went, supplies! He didn't understand the command of the language yet of what supplies and surprise was there. So, yeah, some of you got it after I explained it there, didn't you? So, yeah. Well, this morning, no surprises. Well, not many surprises, maybe. But we're going to look at God's Word. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. And this is what it says. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance or the reward as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. You know, when I look at this and when we read this, I see that we find similar verses throughout the Old and New Testaments, really, describing why we should follow this principle. The verse, Revelation chapter 14, verse 7, is the only one of them that says, "He spoke, and with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." See, folks, to fear God means to reverence him, to place him on a place of reverence, give him a platform of reverence. It's to give him reverence with understanding that he is all-powerful. He's more powerful than he's always present, and he's all-knowing. He's more powerful than anyone in the universe. He's more powerful than any army in the world. He knows more than all 7 billion people living on earth combined. And that should bring a cause of reverence to us, if nothing else, just that thought, that he's more knowledgeable, has more wisdom than every one of us combined in the entire world. And because he does not work out of the same natural state as you and I, he is everywhere at the same time, at all time. Let's look at three standards this morning. We'll look at three standards real quickly this morning. You know what? When a preacher says quickly, what that means? Not a thing. Let's look real quickly at three standards that we should live by according to these verses. First is to serve enthusiastically. Verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men." Now, our word enthusiastically, our English word enthusiastically, is actually translated from the Greek enthios, E-N-T-H-E-O-S, which is actually two words just sandwiched together. These two words, the second half of that is theos, T-H-E-O-S. Most of you know that is God. Theos means God. And the first word that's in theos is E-N. That word literally means within, inside. It means within. So this is God within is what entheos means. And we take that and we come with our word enthusiasm or enthusiastic. And this one, enthusiastically, we're using this morning. And so if we love Jesus, we will do enthusiastically. If God is in us, we will be enthusiastic, or we should be enthusiastic. We will work. We will serve with an enthusiasm that exceeds anything else we do. Folks, God is supernatural. And he is calling on our lives, and his calling on our lives involves the supernatural. It's to go beyond the natural. It's to go beyond what you can humanly do on your own. The supernatural should compel you and I to act with a genuine enthusiasm that comes from within, in theos, God within us. In fact, it's not an act. We shouldn't be acting it. It's the supernatural should compel us to be enthusiastic. Think of this. If someone in your immediate family was diagnosed with an inoperable disease and the doctors went in for one last look, they went to one last scan, one last x-ray, and they found absolutely no cancer or no whatever it is that they're ailing from. They had a completely clean bill of health. I assume that you would be a little enthusiastic about that, right? I mean, we would be enthusiastic. You'd want to tell everyone that you came in contact with about this supernatural act of God, right? You would be shouting it to everyone because there's no way the doctor said it's inoperable. It's not. There's nothing we can do. And now it's gone. There's nothing there. You would be shouting that, excited with enthusiasm from within. This is the enthusiasm that God, through Paul, is calling us to as Christians, as we walk through life. If we are to serve with such an enthusiasm, I have one question. If we are to serve with that kind of enthusiasm, how come there are so many sourpuss Christians on earth? There shouldn't be. That should be an oxymoron. We can't be, because we're to have that entheos. God in us causes that enthusiasm. What are you truly enthusiastic about? I mean, what really gets you excited? What gets you so excited that you want to shout for joy? And perhaps you do because you can't control yourself. What is it that does that? I'm going to ask you to write that down. If you've got something to write with, you've got a bulletin there, just write that down. What is that one thing? Not many of you are writing. I'm watching. I know. I can tell. I want you to write it down. What is it? Because I'm going to refer back to it. What is that one thing that really excites you, gets you so excited that you want to shout for joy? Birth of a child? UK ball game? What is it? It's different for different people, but what is what are those things that do that? And now ask yourself this question. Looking at that, what you just wrote down, ask yourself this question. Am I as excited about being in church this morning as that occasion or that event or that thing that I wrote down? You see, in most cases, I'll just tell you what your answer is. No, we're not. We're not as excited about being in church as in some of those other things, even those other things that are worldly. You know, the reason that we are not as excited about being in church as those other things outside the church sometimes that bring us to that excitement, the reason is because we have allowed church to become routine. Church is routine for us. It's so routine that most of you are sitting in the same pew that you sit every week. Now, I was in one church, and I was working with them, helping them over a period of time, and we were going through some things, what I call church health stuff on Sunday nights, and they came up with the idea, said, you know what, next week, let's all sit in different places. Let's just, if we're going to start, we got to start somewhere, let's all just change places, sit somewhere else. And they did. Most of them did the next Sunday. The second Sunday, they were all right back in their old places. They couldn't get used to it. We've let church get routine. And it's so routine that we don't get excited about it anymore. Routines become boring. Routine enthusiasm would be an oxymoron. The two words cannot exist together. And more importantly than attending church, are you as excited about doing something for God as that thing you wrote down, that topic you wrote down a couple of minutes ago? See, folks, I have known people. And you heard me share a story a couple weeks ago. I've known people who were excited about cleaning toilets for God because they knew it was God's gift to them. They knew that that was something that God called them to do, and they could do it, and He had equipped them to do it. Folks, God hadn't called most of you to clean toilets. You can do what God's called to. Why aren't you getting excited about what God wants you to do? And you know, you can tell when a person enjoys what they're doing, they enjoy what they're doing serving God. Just look at the choir sometime. You can tell. Just look at people. It doesn't matter what they're doing, even if they're cleaning toilets. Because a person with that entheos, that enthusiasm that comes from God, when they're serving God, they've always got a smile on their face. It's not drudgery. No matter what they're doing, it's not drudgery. It's not out of obligation. Oh, well, it's that time of week again. Got to go. It's none of that. It's not drudgery. It's not obligation. It's not routine. It's not to look good in front of other people. When a person is serving from the heart enthusiastically, God's joy will shine across that person's face and everything that person is doing. Amen. And I see that on some of your faces in this church. You are an encouragement to me. I want you to know that. You're an encouragement to me when you serve with that entheos, enthusiasm. You're an encouragement to me, and you're an encouragement to many others in here, whether you realize it or not. So always, church, always serve the Lord enthusiastically in everything that you do, everywhere that you find yourself, not just here on Sunday morning, everywhere. Serve enthusiastically. That was our first standard. The second standard that we need to look at in these passages is serve as unto the Lord. It says serve enthusiastically as unto the Lord. This verse tells us that whatever we do, which means that word whatever means everything that we do. This verse says that whatever we do, everything that we do, we should do it as if we were doing it for God Himself. Because if you're a born-again believer, God is in you, entheos. Think on this for a moment. If God were sitting in your home this afternoon, how would you treat Him? I mean, needless to say, we would treat, if he was in your home, he's in my home, whosever home it is, we would treat him with the highest regard possible, right? Of course we would. We would pull out all the stops. We would treat him better than anyone that we've ever had in our home. You would treat him better than anyone you've ever had in your home, anyone you've entertained, you've cooked for. You would treat him better than anyone else you've ever had, or you'd at least try. We all would. And this is what this verse is telling us. Everything you do, regardless of what it is, if it's cleaning toilets, if it's picking up trash, if it's cleaning up after a meal, everything we do, we are to do it as if we were serving God, as if God were the one sitting in front of us, as if God was the one who we were waiting on, as if God were the one we were serving. Serve enthusiastically and serve always unto the Lord. And then our third standard is to serve with passion. Now, the word passion is not found in these verses of Scripture, but I believe this is exactly what the message is of these verses is conveying to us. When we do something enthusiastically, we usually have a passion for it, right? I mean, if you don't have a passion for it, you're probably not going to want to get involved with it. And you're probably not going to be involved with it. When you serve, people serve out of their passion. And when we do something enthusiastically, there's usually a reason for that inside us. We have a passion for it. Whatever you do, do it from the heart. That's what this says. And the heart is considered to be the seat of passion. In other words, our passion, what we're passionate about, comes from the heart, comes from within. Entheos, that enthusiasm, that passion comes from God. Church leaders, as I get to work with churches in different places, different states, church leaders often tell me that they just can't get their people to serve. They can't get people to do things in the church, to serve in the church, to do things that need to be done in the church. And my response is always the same. It's always, people will serve out of their passion. And so part of one of the things that I do is try to help churches help their people find out, what are you passionate about? And how can you serve? I believe in any church, if we help people to find their passion, they will serve. And we're going to see if that's true here in the next few weeks. But we conducted a little exercise just a few minutes ago when I asked you to write down that one thing that you get excited about, enthusiastic about. You see, folks, when you find what you're enthusiastic about, you can trace it back to your passion. Your level of enthusiasm is determined by your passion index. You ever heard of a passion index? The passion index is that thing inside of you that when something's mentioned, it either goes up or it goes down. I'm excited about it, or, oh, not me, I don't want to go there. And so your passion index either raises or lowers with certain things. When you're not enthusiastic about something, your passion index will drop. It will lower. Now, I can name several people groups, and you can instantly know your passion index for each group. In fact, let's just do that. We'll do a little demonstration here this morning. If I were to tell you that this Thursday we've got a bunch of people going at whatever time you're free, and we're going to go and we're going to do these things, I want you to, as I name these different groups, I want you to just pay attention to what's happening inside you. Do you say, yeah, I could do that? Do you say, oh, shrink down in my pew, I'm not going there? What happens when I tell you we're going to go this Thursday, we're going to get a bunch of volunteers together, and we're going to go, and we're going to go work with disabled senior adults? Some of your passion raised, some of your passion went, not me, I'm busy that day. What about if I said unwed mothers? We're going to go work with unwed mothers. How about if I said, you know what, we're not going to do any of those. What we do, we're getting a group of people together who want to help us to go down, and we're going to go down to the preschool right down the street here, and we're going to change diapers. That's all we're going to do is we're going to change diapers. How many of you? Now, I can guarantee you that a few years ago, my wife would have been one of the first people to sign up. I don't know if she would today or not, but she loves preschoolers and doing. And even if it's changing diapers, she would do it. Why? Because her passion index raises when you talk about young children like that. What if I told you that I had just got off the phone last night with John Calipari, and he told me that I could bring a group in and we could serve dinner to the basketball team in October? Some of your passion index just jumped out of the ceiling, didn't it? See, with every one of those, your passion index made a move. Every time I mentioned a different people group, your passion index either went up, maybe slightly, but some of it may have went up greatly, and others, your index, passion index went down. find out what you're enthusiastic about. You can trace it back to your passion. People will serve out of their passion. You would want to go do those things that your passion raised. Any of those groups that I mentioned, if your passion index raised, you would be willing to go and to serve in those areas. Whatever you do, do it from the heart. And the heart is the seat of our passion. Were you enthusiastic about one or more of those that I mentioned? What made the difference? It's your passion. Your passion for one or more of those groups is what made the difference as I was talking to them. Now, most of those you probably said no to. Not me. Many of you. Others, some of those may have stuck with you. You would have said yes. If I ask you to write cards, we need somebody to write some cards this week. Write some cards. Just send it to, we got a list of names. We want you to send to people that shut-ins or different people. Maybe someone hadn't been here in 2 or 3 weeks. What would you do? We got people in this church that sit on every Thursday and write cards like that. Not because they're obligated to, not because they have to, but because they have a passion for communicating to other people. And I've seen it in other churches, and I've talked to churches. Perhaps you have too. Have you ever received a card from someone at church, and you got it in the mail, and you got it on Wednesday, and you opened it up and said, man, did I need that today? But then you realize that person mailed that card on Monday. See, that passion, that's God within, that's that entheos, God had that person write that card for you because he knew you were going to need it on Wednesday. How are you dealing with enthusiasm and passion in serving God? You see, we're not to ignore any group of people. Now, I mentioned just a few while ago. We're going to look at a few more in just a few minutes. But we're not to ignore any group of people that God places in our world, in our community. However, we are not all passionate about the same group of people. And that's a good thing, because that way we can diversify. We can meet the needs of many people in our community. Do you remember what it was like to be a child in December? I mean, be a young child in December. Especially you wait for school to be out. You knew what day that was going to be, and you knew you had another week or week and a half before Christmas. You remember how your excitement grew every week? I mean, every day. Every day. Remember how the excitement was waiting, building up each day, building up a little bit more, waiting for that one day, that Christmas morning, December 25th? And no matter how rich or how poor you were, you got excited a little more. Your enthusiasm grew each day as it got closer to Christmas. And then that morning, when you were called into the room where the tree was and the gifts were, and you were caught and come that short walk became a very enthusiastic walk that morning, didn't it? Maybe a run, pushing brothers and sisters out of the way so you could get there first. You were enthusiastic about that short walk on that day, weren't you? Your excitement and enthusiasm grew as each passing day went on, moving towards that. And that is exactly what Paul is sharing with us in this thing, because we knew there was a reward coming. What we considered a reward, a gift, presence on that day. And Paul says here in verse 24, he says, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from God. Now, your enthusiasm as a child was over a ball that was going to be in there, or a doll that was going to be in there, or a bicycle that was in there. Or for some of you, it was you knew you were going to get a new pair of socks. Or maybe you didn't know, but you got in there and you got as excited about that pair of socks as some of us got excited about a ball or a bicycle, right? A socks and an orange and an apple. Man, we were happy. Paul is telling us it doesn't matter what those Christmas gifts were. Paul is telling us, and speaking of an eternal heavenly reward, he said, how much greater should your enthusiasm be for serving God? Entheos, that God is actually living in you. It's God in me causing me to do this. You know, I thought I had this week as I was writing this was, perhaps more people are turning away from the church today than to the church because of our lack of enthusiasm. Think about that. Are we turning people away from church today because of our enthusiasm? Folks, do not just serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with enthusiasm. Entheos, God in me. And today, we want to give you an opportunity to find out your passion. I've got six people stationed around there. If you all will stand up and start handing this out right now, they're all got different areas they're going to do. We've got a passion survey, a passion assessment that we're all going to take. Folks, every one of us is going to take this. So don't sit there with your arms crossed like, not me, you're not making me do anything. Let me just say, this is part of our worship. Because it's part of the worship service. It's part of the worship what God has given us. And so this is part of our worship today. And we're going to do this together, so hang on for just a minute. Let most everybody get it. And Cam, if you've got enough left, when you finish up there, if you would make sure the guys in the media booth get one as well. Thank you. This is a passion survey, something that I put together, a passion assessment I put together several years ago. And I'm going to read through the top part of it, and then we'll go down through section by section. Don't check everything. I had one lady one time checked all but three of them. It should be just the opposite. You check one or two, maybe one in each category or one or two in some categories and zero in some categories. But as soon as we make sure everybody gets them, they're coming your way there. And if y'all got some extra, you can come help over here. That JB's got this section all by himself. So y'all got them? Kevin, can you come and start on the front row here? This is a passion assessment. And it says, at the time of our spiritual birth, we are taught that God gives us spiritual gifts to use for carrying out His ministry. But at the very same moment, I believe that God places in your heart, listen to me right now, this is why I didn't give them to you ahead of time, because you'd have been filling them out before I got to this point. God also gives you, at the moment of salvation, I honestly believe God gives you a passion to serve Him. So we're going to help you try to unearth your passion today. And this assessment is designed to assist you in discovering that passion. And what we're going to do is we're going to read down, I'm going to just name the different categories. I want you to go through and you'll check one or two in each category that you are passionate about, that raises your passion index. So let's look at the first one, age. This is age groups. If you are passionate about working with infants in the nursery, that's not saying you're signing up to work in a nursery, okay? It just says, I have a passion for this. Because we may have a ministry in the future that we're bringing in babies from outside, that we're going to do a mom's night out or something like that. Preschoolers. Maybe it's like you like working with grade school children or teenagers. How about college and career? Anybody got a passion for, you really have a heart for college and career, those 18 to 25 years old, something like that? Does anybody need an ink pen? I want everybody filling this out. And Kay's got ink pens in the back. If you need an ink pen, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one right now. There's some there. Sky's going to help hand those out. And Daniel. Just mark one or two there, and that one. Which ones really, really set you up that you really like doing those age grades there, age graded there? Again, you're not signing up for a ministry yet. I don't want to scare you. We'll make that phone call and tell you what you're signing up for later. Just kidding. Anybody else need an ink pen? Okay, the second sector there you see is society sectors. This can be, you know, single mothers, single fathers. You have a passion for working with, you know, we think about single mothers, but oftentimes we don't think about the single fathers. And there's quite a few of those out there as well. What about the unemployed? I really want to help. I really like helping people find employment or improve their person, whatever it is. Adults without diplomas. Businessmen. Maybe there's businessmen in the room. And you know, I really like pouring into businessmen. I have a passion for that. Businesswomen, same thing. And in Kentucky, we have a whole lot of illiterate. And you might want to, beside illiterate, think about remedial readers. Because as we work with the schools, that's one of the things we hear about, is they need people helping with reader, people who have medial reading skills. Sports, outdoors, fishing, camping, hunting, golf, boating, whatever that is. There's something there. Prisoners, the widowed, men and women, widows and widowers, homeless, or teenage mothers. We've got ministry starting for that, helping with that one. Then look over in the next column, we've got spiritual. Do you have a passion for helping in any of these spiritual needs? Non-Christians. I really want people drawn to Christ. I want to do what I can to help draw people to Christ. I want people to know about God, about the God that I say that I worship. And what about new Christians, baby Christians, whether they're 75 years old or 5 years old? And then there's new church members, helping new church members just to find out where how to do things in our church, how to get around, or how to sign up for ministries, or what ministries are available. And then there's, under the spiritual, what about working with other religions? Hindu, Buddhist, other Eastern religions, Muslims. And have you ever thought about minister spouses needing help? Needing encouragement? Needing a ministry? Just a group that gets together, so, you know, we want to just pray with you and talk with you all and be here for you. Or ministers' children. Where do they go? A lot of times they don't go to their father in ministry. And then there's the ethnic groups. Do you have a passion for any of those ethnic groups listed down there? Or if there's other, you can write that in as well, as you can see there. And then the last category that I've put on this is, and I'm sorry for those of you online, I should have said this, I intended to do this a while ago. You can go to my website, soncare.net, son, as in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, care.net. Hover over the resources tab and you'll see a file there that says downloadable resources. And you can download this sheet that we're filling out here to help find out yours. It's at soncare.net. And then the needs, you see those that are written down there, drug or alcohol addiction, if you have a passion for working people with that. AIDS patients, physically challenged, those who are mentally challenged. How about working with those who are homebound or in nursing homes? There are people that have a passion for ministering to the hospitalized. Someone who's in the hospital, maybe short term, may only be there 2 to 3 days or a week. Sexually abused, your really heart really goes out, or physically abused. What about to the poor and needy? And again, you can see there's other thing there for other. Now, these are people groups. That's all I did there. I didn't do. You may have other passions like music, singing, playing an instrument, cooking, other things. But these are things, you know, what with these people groups, we're going to help you find your passion there. Put your name at the top of it. You've got a place there for your name. That way we know who didn't turn one in. We've got it. We've got it. We're going to get it covered here. Then I'm going to ask if Sue Ellen would take her place at the piano. Mickey would come ready to lead us in our time of response. This is our invitation today, folks. You don't get to keep that. Because I'm going to ask you to come forward and lay those on the altar. Everyone in the balcony, if y'all want to start right now, getting up, coming down, I want everyone in here to bring those and lay them on the altar so that we can pray over every one of those and over your passion that God would help you to understand what that is and what he's called you to. I want everyone to place yours on the altar this morning as Mickey leads us to sing. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning and pray that you would lead us, Lord, in a way here that we would understand a little bit more of how you've created us, how you've knit us together, given us all passions to serve different people groups in this community and beyond. Father, I pray that you would help us even now, Lord, in this time, to realize it's okay to step out of that pew, to walk forward and to lay a piece of paper on the altar to be prayed over. Father, would you lead us in this hour, in this moment? If someone does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let them come forward too. If someone's coming forward for membership or for baptism or whatever it is, let them come forward to pray. Johnny and I will be down front. They can come and we'll pray with them, talk with them. We can get other people to talk with them and spend some time with them. Father, move us today in a way that you've not moved us. Move us today in a way to understanding how we can serve enthusiastically, serve as if we're serving, no matter what we're doing, as if we're serving you directly. And help us to serve with passion. Help us to commit right now this morning to serve with passion. Let's all stand and respond as Jesus called us. You bring yours forward, lay it on the altar.